Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you joining me again this week as we dive into God's Word, as we ask the questions together, what is God saying to us and what are we doing about it? And we're coming off last week. We were with Bishop Bob McClory on the Good News Cruise talking about God's Word. And I just found it so beautiful how, as a bishop, he was sharing his own experience with God's Word. He was talking to us about God's Word in the Mass, sharing it communally. So I think it's a really good set of episodes to go ahead and build up the body of Christ in reading God's Word together. And so today, we're going to dive into God's Word again. We're back in the letters of St. Paul. It's hard to get away from the letters of St. Paul. They're just so good. They're so rich. They're so convicting. And this was a passage that I read this morning in my prayer time, because I actually had been planning to go through the readings of this week because we're past Pentecost. We're just on the other side of Pentecost. And so I wanted to take a look at, how is the church living? What readings is the church giving us on this other side of Pentecost? So I encourage you to go do that in your own prayer time as you're reading, to not only read the word that we're going to read today, but also read the daily readings and see liturgically, what is the church saying to us after the Feast of Pentecost? What does a church on fire with the Holy Spirit look like? And to take that in. But I was reading this morning the beginning of 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians is really a beautiful letter from St. Paul on Christian maturity. The church of Corinth was known to be a big church, a powerful church in some ways. They had all of this gifting. And Paul talks about this over and over and over again. They had all of this amazing gifting, but they were often lacking love. They needed to return to their first love. And 1 Corinthians carries that famous passage, love is patient, love is kind, you know, that's read at all of these weddings. But the interesting thing is, it's a beautiful passage about love, but it's also a correction from Paul on how they were behaving, lacking spiritual maturity. Because spiritual maturity produces love. Spiritual maturity isn't just doing all the things in ministry. It's not just doing all the right things. It's not knowing all the right things. It's actually what's overflowing from our hearts. And so this is where we see Paul coming from. And the passage that we're going to take up is we're going to begin in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17 and read to the end of the chapter. And there's so much richness there. But what I want to kind of give a backup to is right before that, the heading is called divisions in the church. And so Paul, what we're going to read today, Paul is approaching it from a place of, he's like, hey, I've heard all of these divisions are happening in the church. And some of you are saying, I belong to this person, I belong to this person, but we all belong to Christ. And then what we'll read today is Paul speaking into that place of division. So we're going to go ahead, we're going to pray, and we're going to read this word. It was so convicting to me, and I hope the Spirit convicts you as well as we journey in another week together reading God's word. So if you'll join me in prayer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, wherever we are, we invite you into this week. We invite you into this week. We invite you into our hearts. Whether we're driving our kids to school, whether we've just finished the Monday of this week, whether we're listening to this on Friday at the end of the week, wherever we are right now, we just surrender to you. We surrender to who you are and what you want to do in our lives today. Speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. We want to hear your voice. We want to be convicted by you. And we want to fall more deeply in love with you. And we ask all of this in your most holy name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and read this section in 1 Corinthians 1, 17, which is kind of at the end of, we're going to start at the end of a particular section and then move forward to the next portion of the chapter. So just because I don't want to read all the portions about the different divisions, we're going to talk about that a little bit, but I want to talk where he begins to talk about Christ. So 1 Corinthians 1, 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So I'm going to stop there, and we're going to pick up the second part of the chapter. We are going to get to it, but it's a big, hefty chunk, and there's so much already that we can talk about here. And so what I do want to address is that part that says the divisions in the church. And so interesting, Paul will say before this, he said, for it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brethren. What I mean is that each one of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And so Paul is speaking into this place of division. And he's saying, I'm hearing that the church in Corinth is divided. And you're saying, well, I do what Peter does. I do what Paul does. I do what Apollos does. And he's saying, no, we all belong to Christ. And I think this is such a good word right now, because I really think that this is so much of what we see in the church of, I belong to this style of worship. I belong to that style of worship. I'm going to get on YouTube and I'm going to watch videos about people criticizing these people and people criticizing those people. I mean, anybody who's on social media is just like a platform for people criticizing. And I remember once I heard this beautiful talk from Francis Chan, and he was saying, he's like, so often I feel like the church is this family divided by divorce. And we want people to join our family, and we're like, hey, we want to adopt you into our family. And like, you go to the orphanage and you tell a kid, like, we're going to adopt you. But all the kid sees when you're there is the family just quarreling and fighting. And then actually the divisiveness of our disagreements about these things, I'm not saying these things don't need to be talked about. I'm not saying they're not important things, but the level of division of saying, are we saying I belong to Christ? Or are we saying I belong to this way of thinking about things? I belong to that way of thinking about things. Or are we seeing each person as I belong to Christ? And to actually take that to the Lord. And it's this division that Paul is speaking into here. And so he begins in verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. I think this is such a beautiful place to start, because this is so convicting. And now Paul is not saying like you should preach the gospel badly and like if you're going to give a talk somewhere, not be prepared or whatever it is. But I think we've become so accustomed to professional preachers and teachers of the gospel, like even like being like, oh, that's for Rachel Herbeck to do on Burning Hearts. That's not for me to do in my life. And we can get caught up in being like, oh, like that's for people giving talks. And we put these crafted talks together, or we feel like I can't share the gospel with somebody because I don't know what to say and I don't know how to say it and all of these different types of things. But to say, Paul's saying to preach the gospel and not with eloquent wisdom. Why is he saying that? What is he saying there? The truth about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done does not need to be dressed up in these amazing, soaring, beautiful human words in order for it to be deceived. It is not our eloquent wording that allows the gospel of Jesus Christ to land in somebody's heart. It is not our eloquent wording. It's not our way of dressing it up. It's not us being good speakers. It's not us being charismatic personalities. It's the cross of Christ. And he's saying, if we're resting on how good are we communicating, that's not to say we shouldn't be excellent in the things that we do. That's not to say that we should just be like, oh, whatever, like Jesus died for you, and like not care about it. But we begin to rest on our own power, on our own wording, on our own delivery. And then we say, the way that I said it or the way that I give it or that really good talk that I give, that's what's going to matter. But the thing that matters is the power. And he's saying you empty the cross of Christ of its power. That actually our preaching and our ministry is dependent on the power of the cross. It's dependent on the power of the cross. And what is the power of the cross? The forgiveness of sins, sacrificial love, victory through suffering, transformation for the Christian. Jesus comes and he dies and he takes an instrument of death and makes it into an instrument of defeat over death. This is the power of the cross. And when we're preaching God's word, Paul's saying, I am not focused on how well I'm speaking. I'm not focused on wanting to get you on my team, on my side, so you can belong to Paul or you can belong to Peter. And friends, I think this is what is happening so much in the church, of we're infighting with each other. Over saying, oh, I'm going to give some really eloquent talk and debate against another believer about this liturgical piece or about that opinion or about that opinion. And I'm not saying that those discussions don't need to happen, but then we're not communicating to non-believers the power of the cross. The gospel of Jesus Christ depends on the power of God to turn an instrument of death into an instrument of eternal life. This is what we put all of our weight on. We depend on this. Completely and totally, we depend on this. Lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Because when we rely on ourselves, when we say, I can do it on my own, it's about me convincing, it's about me doing X, Y, and Z, we're actually not leaning on the Lord. And when we don't lean on the Lord, we're communicating that we don't trust his power. God, it can be 50% me and 50% the power of your cross. No, it has to be 100% the power of the cross. The power of God speaking through someone's heart, through speaking into someone's heart. The seed of the gospel is the power of the cross. And so as we go about our week, as we reflect, I think even in our own lives, to say, not just about like preaching, but about saying, Lord, like, how am I resting and depending on and leaning on the power of the cross? How am I doing that? How am I leaning on that? How am I saying, Lord, I'm actually leaning into my weakness. The way some of this looks like is actually leaning into our weakness. I'm not always doing our strengths. I'm not always doing the things that we're good at, but leaning into those places of weakness so he has the opportunity to be strong. And so a way that we can amplify the power of Christ and the power of the cross for transformation, for victory, is to say, today, Lord, how can I lean into my weakness so you can come in power? So I want to invite you to meditate on that. What are my weaknesses that I can lean into so you can come in power? Join us again tomorrow for another day on 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus is teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.